The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're exploring something really fascinating, the operational blueprint, if you will, of one of the world's most successful investors, Ray Dalio. But we're not talking stock picks. We're diving into his book, Principles.
Yeah, and it's really important to get what this book is. It's not quite a memoir, not just a business guide. It's more like an operating system he developed for decision making.
An operating system for life and work.
Exactly. Dalio essentially codified everything he learned about making good decisions, dealing with reality, and learning from mistakes. He built a whole framework around it to manage himself and eventually his massive company, Bridgewater.
Okay, so our mission here is to really unpack that framework. We want to understand how these principles came about, especially how they were forged in some pretty intense failures.
All right.
And then, crucially, how you, listening right now, can maybe take some of these ideas and start, you know, engineering your own progress, moving away from just reacting to things emotionally.
Towards a more systematic approach. It's like getting a shortcut to thinking like a really high-level decision maker.
Let's start with Ray Dalio himself, founder of Bridgewater Associates, billionaire investor, hedge fund legend. He started the firm way back in 1975.
And the scale is just immense. At its peak, Bridgewater was managing something like, what, over $160 billion?
Yeah, staggering numbers.
Which is why these principles carry so much weight. They aren't just nice ideas he had. They were the actual rules, the systems, used day in, day out, in one of the most high-pressure, high-stakes environments imaginable global finance. They had to work.
But the whole thing didn't start with a win. It actually started with a massive, near-fatal failure. He calls it the abyss back in 1982.
Ah, yes, the big market call.
Exactly. He had had some early success and admits his ego got pretty inflated. He went very public, very confidently predicting an imminent depression in the U.S.
And he was dead wrong. Completely wrong.
Utterly wrong. The market soared and it basically crushed his firm. He lost his clients, had to fire everyone.
Yeah. Everyone, wow.
Yeah. He was left effectively bankrupt, had to borrow, I think it was $4,000 from his dad just to cover family expenses. I mean, that kind of failure usually ends a career.
For most people, absolutely.
But he actually says it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's incredible. How so?
Well, that intense pain, that humiliation, it forced a fundamental shift. It shattered his ego, he says. His goal changed overnight from needing to be right.
To desperately needing to find out what is true. Okay.
Right. The fear of making another catastrophic mistake driven by emotion or ego pushed him to start meticulously writing down every lesson, every insight, turning them into explicit principles to guide future decisions.
So the book mirrors that journey. You've got his personal story, where I'm coming from, then the core life principles, which are sort of the philosophical bedrock.
And then the work principles, applying it all to building an organization.
Exactly. And the thread tying it all together is this idea that life, work, markets, they all operate like machines, driven by cause and effect. Your job is to understand that machine and develop principles, rules to navigate it effectively.
Okay, let's dig into the heart of it then, those life principles. It feels like it all starts with a kind of radical humility.
Absolutely. And the core formula, if there's one nugget to take away, it's this: pain plus reflection, progress.
Pain plus reflection equals progress. Say more about that.
Dalio's argument is that pain, mistakes, failures, difficulties isn't something to avoid. It's actually essential. It's a signal, like an alarm bell telling you something's wrong with your current approach or understanding.
So instead of running from it,
you have to embrace it. You have to lean into that discomfort, reflect honestly on why it happened, what the root cause was, and that reflection is what allows you to learn and improve. It fuels progress.
And this ties into what he calls hyperrealism, right? This idea of embrace reality and deal with it.
Precisely. It means forcing yourself to accept the objective truth of a situation, even if it's painful, even if it makes you look bad. Because making good decisions has to start from an accurate understanding of reality. Wishful thinking just gets in the way.
Okay, so you accept the painful reality. What then? How do you actually fix the underlying issue?
That's where his five-step process comes in. This is the practical engine, the kind of algorithm you can run for achieving basically any goal.
All right, let's break it down. Step one.
Step one, have clear goals. Really know specifically what you're aiming for. And don't confuse vague desires with concrete, measurable goals.
Okay, step two.
Identify problems. See, any obstacle, any failure, any pain point that's blocking you from your goal as a problem to be solved, don't just tolerate them, target them.
Step 3, diagnose root causes. This is maybe the most critical and often the hardest step.
Why is it the hardest?
Because most people stop at the surface level, the proximate cause. Like, I missed the deadline. Okay, that's what happened, but why did you miss it?
Right. You need to dig deeper. The proximate cause might be, I ran out of time. But the root cause might be, I consistently underestimate how long complex tasks take, or I don't have a system for managing interruptions.
Exactly. If you only fix the proximate cause, like, I'll work late next time, you haven't fixed the underlying machine failure, you'll just make the same kind of mistake again later.
Got it. So diagnose the real underlying reason.
Then, step 4, design a plan. Create a clear, practical plan to eliminate that root cause. He says, think of it like writing a movie script, specific actions to take.
Okay, a concrete plan. Mm-hmm. And finally,
step 5, push through to completion. Execute the plan with discipline. Follow through. And once you do that, you've essentially upgraded your machine and you loop back to step 1, maybe setting an even more ambitious goal.
Okay, diagnosing those root causes, especially when they point to your own weaknesses.
Yeah.
It sounds tough. Our egos naturally want to protect us, right? We want to blame external factors.
Totally. Dalio acknowledges these huge psychological barriers, what he calls the ego barrier that need to be right, and the blind spot barrier, the fact that we all have areas where we just can't see reality clearly.
So what's the antidote? How do you overcome those?
His answer is radical open-mindedness.
Radical open-mindedness.
Yeah. It means you have to deliberately, actively seek out the smartest people you can find who disagree with you, people who see things differently, and then you genuinely try to understand their reasoning to stress test your own.
So you're not trying to win the argument anymore?
No. You shift your entire focus from proving you're right to collectively discovering what is true. It requires real humility.
Okay, that makes sense on a personal level. But how does this scale? How do you take these ideas of radical truth and humility and build, say, a huge company like Bridgewater with them?
That's the transition to the work principles. His goal was to create what he calls an idea meritocracy.
An idea meritocracy, meaning?
Meaning an environment where the best ideas win out purely based on their merit, regardless of who suggests them, whether it's the CEO or an intern.
How do you even begin to build that? It sounds idealistic.
The foundations are radical truth and radical transparency.
Okay, those words again. What does that look like in practice? Because it sounds potentially brutal.
It is intense. Radical truth means people are expected to say what they honestly think directly, even if it involves criticizing a colleague or a boss. Radical transparency means information is incredibly open, like almost all meetings were recorded and available for others to review.
Wow. Recorded meetings. All of them.
Pretty much. The whole point is to kill politics, eliminate hidden agendas, and force decisions to be based on logic and evidence, not just who has the corner office or shouts the loudest.
Okay, I can see the logic. But radical truthfulness all the time. Doesn't that just create constant conflict, hurt feelings, people leaving?
That's the huge management challenge. And it's why the system is so important. It's not just random emotional honesty. It's systematized truth-telling within a framework. And the key mechanism for managing the inevitable disagreements is believability-weighted decision-making.
Believability-weighted. Okay, unpack that.
It means you don't treat all opinions as equal. When making a decision, you give more weight to the opinions of people who are considered more believable on that specific topic.
And what makes someone believable in this system?
Two main things. Do they have a proven track record of success in that specific area? And can they clearly articulate the logic and reasoning behind their viewpoint? It's not about rank or confidence. It's about demonstrated competence and clear thinking.
Ah, okay. So it's a structured way to leverage expertise and avoid just going with the hippio, the highest paid person's opinion.
Exactly. It ensures the decision is more likely to be based on actual merit. And they built tools to support this. You mentioned the dot collector.
Yeah, I read about that. It sounds wild. Like an app you use during meetings?
Right. People give each other real-time feedback using the app, rating colleagues on attributes relevant to the discussion, things like strategic thinking, creativity, open-mindedness, whatever's relevant.
So you're getting instant quantified feedback from everyone in the room.
Yes. It turns subjective impressions into data points. And that data, along with performance reviews, personality assessments like Myers-Briggs, all gets synthesized into these profiles they call baseball cards.
Baseball cards. like for employees.
Kind of. Detailed summaries showing an individual's strengths, weaknesses, thinking style, and crucially, their established believability in different areas. So when a tough decision comes up, the system helps identify who is most likely to have the best perspective. It's incredibly data-driven.
It's a very engineered approach to managing people and ideas. Almost algorithmic.
Totally. Okay, so let's try and pull together the big themes here. What are the core takeaways from Dalio's philosophy?
I think the first overarching theme is definitely systems thinking. This constant push to stop just reacting to problems and instead diagnose and fix the underlying machine that's producing those outcomes.
Right, moving from symptom fixing to system designing.
And that's underpinned by his quote about truth. Truth, more precisely, an accurate understanding of reality is the essential foundation for any good outcome. You need that hyper-realism first.
Okay, theme one, systems thinking built on truth. What else?
Theme two is really viewing life as a machine. Whether it's your career, your relationships, your health, they're all systems producing results.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the engineer or mechanic responsible for diagnosing issues, identifying the root causes.
And then upgrading the machine by creating better principles or rules to operate by.
Which brings us back to that central equation. Pain plus reflection.
Mm.
Progress. That's the engine. You can't evolve without embracing failure and learning deeply from it. It's probably the most memorable line from the book.
Yeah, that one really sticks. And the third theme.
I'd say it's the relentless drive towards the idea meritocracy. This constant effort to design systems in work, maybe even in life, that overcome our biases, our egos, our tendency toward politics, so that the best ideas can actually emerge and win.
Like his quote, create an idea meritocracy in which the best ideas win out. That really captures the goal.
Absolutely.
So this is all fascinating, but how does someone listening apply this? You know, outside of running a multi-billion-dollar hedge fund, what does it mean for everyday life?
Well, the five-step process is incredibly versatile. Take something common like maybe you want to get healthier. That's your goal, step one. The problem, step two, might be you keep skipping workouts.
Okay.
The proximate cause might be I felt too tired or I ran out of time. But digging for the root cause, step three. Maybe it's actually that you don't have a clear morning routine designed to protect that workout time. Or maybe the root cause is you haven't clearly defined why health is important enough to override short-term discomfort.
So the diagnosis leads to designing a better plan, step four, like setting out workout clothes the night before, or scheduling workouts like important meetings, fixing the systemic issue.
Exactly. You engineer the solution rather than just relying on willpower, which often fails. You're debugging your own life machine.
And what about in a work context, maybe for someone managing a small team?
Believability-weighted decision-making is immediately useful, even informally. Next time there's a debate, consciously think, who on the team has the most relevant experience or has been right about this type of problem before?
And you deliberately give their input more weight.
Yeah. Maybe you mentally give it two votes, or you explicitly ask them to elaborate more deeply. It helps counteract the tendency to just agree with the boss or the most persuasive speaker, and actually focuses on the likely quality of the idea.
So the big takeaway really seems to be this idea that success, or progress at least, isn't just luck or innate talent. It can be engineered.
I think that's the most empowering part. Dalio provides a framework that suggests you have the agency to constantly analyze your results, diagnose the root causes of failures, and systematically upgrade your principles.
Yeah.
It moves you from being reactive to being reflective and much more deliberate.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Pick one area in your life, personal or professional, where you feel stuck or keep hitting the same wall.
Okay.
Next time you encounter that friction, instead of just getting frustrated, try to pause, ask, what's the real root cause here? And then maybe even write down one simple principle, one rule you'll try to follow next time to handle it differently. Start building your own operating system.
Yeah, just one principle to start. That feels doable.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Ray Dalio's principles, a really systematic way to think about improvement.
Definitely a lot to chew on there.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.